Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Gold, Ghosts, and Guns podcast for December 5th, 2022. My name is Tom Luongo and we have a lot to talk about. Today is episode 125 and I have back with me again very quickly. I don't normally like to do this, but it's important because it's a big turn of events. But I have Pascal Najati back on the podcast today because he's got some, again, breaking news out of Switzerland that we absolutely needed to cover. Pascal, what is going on? What are you up to this date?
Good afternoon, Tom, and thank you for your emergency time. Time is pressing, and that's why it's great that you could react. I thank you for that.
Sure.
It's about Switzerland now first. Let me just give you a bit of a chronological event here. On Friday, last Friday, the 2nd of December, I went to the local police station here. And I filed criminal charges against our Minister of Interior of Home Affairs, Mr. Alain Berset. He's a federal counsel, and he's also the head of the Federal Office for Public Health. I guess in your country it's like Fauci, I'm not sure. Anyway, he has that COVID responsibility since COVID started. And again, he's a federal counsel. Switzerland has seven, our government is not one president. It has a president, but it's seven federal councils that rotate in presidency every year. And every 4 years they get elected or not. And they run the country, they run the government. Mm-hmm. So each one of them has also responsibility for ministry, like defense, like security and police, like he has the Federal Office of Health and Home Affairs, economy, etc. So Alain Berset, I filed criminal charges against him.
Wow.
I went to the police station. That's how it works. These are criminal charges. I don't need a lawyer for that by Swiss law. I can go to any police station. I can call the police. I can get them home. If I observe something that is criminal activity, whatever it is, I can report it. I make a complaint. If I identify the person who is doing that, in my view. Mm-hmm. All that I'm telling you is on the presumption of innocence, of course.
Of course.
I filed the charges the regular way to the police station, and it's gone straight up to the federal prosecutor's office. That's the highest prosecutor in the country.
Okay.
In Bern. And I don't know, it's in the black box there now. Okay. I notified the Swiss media. It's a big story. Mm-hmm. Because I've used Article 312 of the Criminal Code of Switzerland, which anybody can look up also in English, can Google it. And the Criminal Code 312 or the Penal Code 312 is abuse of office.
Okay, wow.
It's big. Now, why did I do this? As you know, we had COVID measures like everybody else. And all of a sudden, we had this talk in 21 whether or not to extend this COVID certificate on the mobile phone. And there was a public vote about this in November 21. So, to give the chronologic events correctly, on the 27th of October 2021, Alain Berset went on the national TV. That's prime time. Millions of people are watching it. And he said, "You need the certificate. We need it. The vaccination is effective. Get vaccinated." And he said, here's the sentence: "With the certificate, you can show that you are not contagious." He said that. A month later, the public vote was to be held whether or not to extend this stupid certificate. Now, on the 3rd of August, prior to October of 21, his own director of infectionology of the Federal Office of Public Health, which he is the boss. Her name is Virginie Masseret. By the way, she resigned in November of that year out of frustration. She made a report on the 3rd of August, 21, 3 months before the controversial statement of Berset, or 2 months before the almost 3 months, and stated that vaccinated people transmit the virus
Wow.
exactly like unvaccinated people. Thick report. Also, the US Health Authority, CDC, came to the same conclusion around that time. Those reports are shared with all the countries. So we had external reports confirming that. We had, again, Virginie internally, the director, she's in charge, making a clear conclusion that vaccination does not protect you and it does not protect others from you transmitting it to other people. In other words, they concluded in August 21 that the vaccine is completely useless in terms of spreading the virus. However, we go back now forward. In October 27th, 21, he said, I repeat that, with a certificate, you can show that you are not contagious. Now,
Clearly.
with that also, in my view, he has put people in danger because of false safety thinking.
Absolutely.
I don't know, in America, if you put people at risk as a minister, I think that's even worse in America. You're much more liable than just abuse of office, I think.
Could be.
Endangering health of others, I think in America is a much higher penalty than just abuse of office. But in our country, I have used Article 312, abuse of office, with the same sentence and pushing the certificate through with the people's votes. He created a two-class society in Switzerland. That is unconstitutional. In Switzerland, everybody is the same in front of the law. Everybody. Poor people, rich people, ministers or not, the same. But we go back to the more serious one of the breach or abuse of office. I think you understand the chronology. Or shall I repeat it? You understood what it means? So this has been filed last Friday morning on the 2nd. Now it's the 5th of December. Now what happened? I briefed the three major daily newspapers of this country. By email, I attached to them the release. I gave them my phone number to call for questions. Guess what? Zero.
Of course.
No reaction.
Right.
Why? During the COVID mess and bonanza, they were carrying the same message.
Mm-hmm.
Promoting the vaccines, promoting the measures, getting subsidies from the government.
Of course.
These are billion-dollar companies who own the media in Switzerland. These are not small newspapers. They're big.
Right.
They own private TV. They own print, digital. They're
right.
big. So here we are. I always say the profits sometimes come from the outside. I want to brief your audience that in democratic Switzerland, where the people are the sovereign, we have this going on right now.
Right.
This is very serious.
No, it is. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Mr. Berset is a sitting minister. He's now in charge of public health, sitting in this office, in his office.
Right.
And it's now at the federal prosecutor's office. And I always say, we live in a direct democracy where everybody's equal, the law is the same for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say a deliberately or negligently made false claim spread by a federal counselor does not become the truth just because it is believed and accepted by a majority.
Exactly. So so correct me if I'm wrong, but the vote that came a month after that passed.
Yes.
Based on his statements.
Yes. Of course, people said the certificate is great. I have this. I can walk around, go to the restaurant. I say, hey, I'm vaccinated. I'm not
right.
contagious. Wrong. They were spreading it all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why the virus subsided, the spreading, is because of the virus behavior. It had this big boost of growth.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like many viruses, it collapses automatically because people get immune.
Right.
Through contracting it, and then they build up their own immunity, etc. Pfizer, Jeanine Small, Pfizer manager, 6 weeks ago in the European Parliament, made a speech admitting
right.
that the vaccination was never designed to stop the spreading of the virus, to stop making it contagious to other people. She admitted that. In the
right.
European Parliament, Jeanine Small, you can Google her.
Right. No, so the clearly what we're dealing with, and I think it's obvious, you know, Pascal, that this was sold to us as one thing, was clearly something else. And now, of course, the question of beyond that is, of course, why is this program still in place, right? So why are we having to be subjected to this? And then we have the G7. Just recently turn around and agree that the World Health Organization should set the rules for international travel based on the current situation from a virology perspective, or you know, whatever bug happens to be going around, whether or not, and then they get to decide who gets to move around, as opposed to, and they get to control international travel, as opposed to sovereign governments deciding who to reject or accept based on whatever they want to do. So this is clearly a mechanism by which to legitimize this kind of top-down behavior and legitimize, oh, well, I have everything I need. I'm vaccinated. I'm a good person. That's fine. And I'm the star valley snitch. And therefore I should be able to get on a train or a bus or a plane or leave my home. And they did it over a vaccine that they admit didn't work after the fact, and knew before the fact that the thing didn't work.
Yes, and it's getting worse. In Switzerland, from January 21 until November 22, recently,
right,
there has been 6,199 serious cases. These are people who have serious health problems,
right,
from vaccines. That corresponds to about 38% of all reported side effects. 38%.
I know. I've seen I've seen other you know I've seen other sources on this and whatnot. I try not to follow this directly on a daily basis, because aside from the fact that it'll send me to the top of a clock tower with a high powered rifle, but it's insane the level of damage that's been done and it's clear at this point that now the this whole story has lost containment.
And, yes, and there's people that have died from vaccinations as well in this country.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big lawsuit going on against Swissmedic, another government institution which belongs right. to the same ministry. It goes further. The vaccination exercise has cost us ₹500 million. That's a lot of money for Switzerland.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of money.
Now, I'm saying either the minister lied, or which is abuse of office,
sure,
or he acted with gross negligence,
which is also
prosecuted in penal code.
Right.
That's why this case is so strong. That's why it's so simple. That's why it fits on one page. That's why I went to the police without a lawyer, because in Switzerland, it's your right. Every citizen has the same right. Even foreigners, they can file a complaint at the police station. They have to process it.
Right.
Now, if I'm saying I saw a jumbo jet crashing on the building here and the pilots are responsible, that's nonsense. Of course, he will be thrown out immediately. Right. But I tried to get a copy of this. I said at the police station, after I signed it, I said, can I have a copy to take home? They said no. I informed myself today with a judge, and he said, no, I should have insisted. Now, I had to send an email to the police with my passport copy saying, could you please send me a copy? Then they told me it might take some time. The copy's right there, right?
Right.
So it's about 2 minutes walk from here, 2 minutes.
It'll take some time.
That's big news for Switzerland. This is a democratic country, one of the oldest democracies in the world and the only direct democracy in the world. And me, I'm saying this, I cannot accept that the minister produces lies who has responsibility over more than 8 million people overseeing the Ministry of Health,
right.
or another ministry for that matter. It's just not feasible.
Right.
And nobody can support that. If anybody votes to support this, then they are part of the crime.
I at this point, clearly that has to be on the table, and it's just a very, very, it's a very ugly thing, and it's clear that this is losing political steam here in the United States as well, with good reason. And now we've got I think Ron DeSantis came out today here in Florida to make a major move today against the COVID passports and all of that as well today, because he's like, no, this is completely unnecessary. And so we're seeing the vestiges of federalism here in the United States rear its ugly head, well, at least as far as, you know, these Davos ninnies are concerned. It's clear that there's something going on here that, I mean, it's obvious at this point that there's something seriously going on here that is beyond the scope of just public health. Has nothing to do with actually at this point about public health at all. And COVID hasn't had anything to do with public health almost since the beginning. So
it's infringement into the private life of citizens. It's about, if you want to put it simply and mildly, it's about control.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
You control movements, you control behavior with these COVID measures.
Yep. It is absolutely unacceptable that free societies would even consider any of this. But
I had to fly to Qatar before the World Cup. I had to go on business to Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
I have a medical condition which is very serious, so I got a dispense not to wear the bloody mask. Mm-hmm. on a 20-hour flight. The plane was wearing the mask. Now we had to stop for 4 hours At the airport, nobody was wearing a mask. Thousands of people mulling around,
But get
normal.
on the plane and there had to be a
But
mask. It's just it's silly. It's beyond silly at this point. And I don't know. I mean, they've created cottage industries and fake paths and fake masks and fake COVID pa and fake COVID passports and all the rest of it. It's like, do they not realize that no matter how much they try to curtail human behavior, that human ingenuity outstrips their ability of control? They just won't accept this. And it's part of the reason why I'm so willing to accept the idea that this is being done through the offices of a guy like Klaus Schwab, because it's very
Yes.
clear that he is that kind of control freak.
It
Like,
is part of the Great Reset
sure.
2030. There's no doubt about it.
Of course.
Everybody's in it. The elite, the middle management, the media, mainstream are in it. They were carrying the stories without questioning it.
Course.
Where is the journalism gone? Journalism has two opinions always, left and right. And then you
Journalism doesn't have two
have
opinions, it has one opinion.
one
There's the
opinion.
state, and then there's the state approved one, and then there's the disinformation. It's that we're
And
down to that.
now Pfizer came out confirming that the design of the vaccine was never meant to stop contagion,
Right.
stop this contagion. Pfizer admitted it.
I know.
Do you
And
think any mainstream media in Switzerland carried the news? None of them.
it's insane. It's
You know how
and
much Pfizer made? $9 billion profit
of
just
course.
on this vaccine.
No, I know. I know. And
You can buy a lot of people.
it's very scary. It was funny. I was chatting I was on a podcast with Alex Craner recently, and we were talking about the geopolitical importance of Sputnik V, the Russian vaccine, which was a not an mRNA vaccine, but a kind of standard two adenovirus vector vaccine. I'm no virologist or anything, but I understand just enough of this stuff to, and I'm enough of a chemist and a scientist to understand the difference here. And to know that this is, this kind of adenovirus vector vaccine protocol is, a well-established thing. It's got side effects like everything else, but it's the same technology that underlied that the undergirded, the vaccines against SARS and MERS and Ebola and others that were developed. And a simply a really, if it was going to be a vaccine that would have any degree of efficacy for a particular individual, it would be this one with the minimal amount of side effects. And so, one of the things that Alex brought up was that the Russians, that the question that Alex asked, which was a good one, which was like, why did Putin, who knew from the beginning that this whole thing was nothing but part of the whole Great Reset project, why did Putin go along with the lockdowns and and all the rest of it early on? And Alex, to Alex's point, I have to give him give him a lot of credit for thinking this through. And just bear with me for a second while I lay this out, that Putin went along with it in order to gain the credibility within the international community. That, yep, no, we're taking it seriously. Absolutely. No, we agree that the COVID is dangerous, blah, 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 blah. But we're going to be the first ones to market with a vaccine, which, by the way, no one in the West accepted. Right? The EU immediately turned around and said, no, can't possibly. It comes from the Russians, so it's bad. Like, not like the Russian, like Russian virologists aren't some of the best in the world. Like, they're the ones that came up with vaccines for all these previous, coronavirus, rarely aggressive coronaviruses like SARS and MERS and Ebola, which are all variations on this same type of virus. So, like, why were we, so why would it not be a viable, vaccine protocol, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And of course, the Russians also put it out under license so that anybody could produce it for themselves. And they were practically giving it away for free, exactly the way you would expect someone who was actually, an actor was actually trying to help humanity as opposed to rule it. And that's it's the only conclusion you could make. And I said, I said to Alex, I said, it's interesting. I called Sputnik 5. I figured that out the minute I saw the announcement of Sputnik 5. I'm like, oh, this is clearly what the Russians are clearly trying to jump the geopolitical shark here and expose this whole COVID protocol, this whole lockdown COVID passport thing, this protocol contact tracing and all the rest of it. It's crazy. So, you know, it's funny just to see how that's all played out. And then a year later, where, you know, nothing Russian is allowed to even survive in the wild, right? So,
interesting. Interestingly, I spoke to Alice Weidel, the leader of AfD.
Right.
Last week, she was at the Bundestag in the sessions.
Oh, really? So she was at Valdai.
Sorry?
Well, she was at Valdai?
I didn't understand.
The Valdai, the discussion forum, or where?
No, she was in parliament. She's a deputy of the Bundestag in Berlin.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misheard you.
She gave speeches, and she revealed that there is a study done, guess by who? The Bundeswehr, the German military army.
Right.
And the study confirmed, because the Bundeswehr forced every soldier to be boosted every, I don't know how many months.
Right.
Everybody. And now they came out with the analysis of the study. They concluded that soldiers got much more ill the more they were vaccinated.
Right. Right.
And that's the German military. She was in parliament and said, hey, this is our own army saying that. Stop this nonsense.
Wow. Wow.
So
what was the response from the British?
You know, they ignore her, they hate her, or they provoke her, they demonize her. And I wrote a piece recently in the media. The more they do that, they help her career.
I agree.
Because she's strong, she's not afraid, she goes right through the middle. Mm-hmm. She has no fear.
No.
And what she says makes absolute sense. You cannot find, and you can listen to the speeches, you cannot find any arguments to debunk her arguments, her facts. And you know what? The facts that she presents are lousy about the state of affairs in Germany.
They are.
Everything is bad. Mm-hmm. But that's the truth. And you cannot talk nice about bad things. You must tell the people how ugly it is to wake them up.
Agreed.
And she's gaining ground. The party's gaining ground and is accelerating. It's the fastest growing party in Germany. So do me a favor, please. Put that English version on your website with our talk now, because so people can download it, they can read it, that they can understand. And I beg all of the audience, please distribute this paper as far and wide you can.
Yeah, no, the situation with AfD in Germany is very interesting, and I want to just delve into this a little bit, because I've been following them very, very closely for years now, and you know the hint of populism that existed in Germany sent me down a number of rabbit holes over the last 5 years, trying to sadly having to become at least a layman's level expert on German politics. And the same thing with Italy, and now thankfully through my association with you, I now understand Switzerland a lot better than I did before, and absolutely thank you for that. So, but I find AfD's situation in Germany very interesting, because they're clearly still a very young party from a professional politics perspective. They've got a lot of work to do, and to the point of at times, even wondering whether or not they were even controlled opposition, right? And I never really bought that argument, but I did buy that they weren't, that they were more like the Libertarian Party here in the United States used to be, which was that as they were growing, as they began to really, and this is when I was involved with the LP here in the United States about 15 years ago, that 15, well, maybe even longer than that, 18 years ago now, that that the LP, as it started to grow, was immediately infiltrated from outside actors, most notably from within the GOP, and then, of course, undermined the party as it grew in the minds of the of anybody who was trying to get out of the duopoly. And in Germany now, it's a three-headed hydra, because the Greens have now been legitimized, obviously, by Davos, and that we have the CDU, the Greens, and the Social Democrats are still all polling ahead of AfD. And the big problem that I have seen with AfD is that they've never been able to break through what's an important barrier, which is that 16% level. And what I'm going to ask you now is, given this current situation in Germany, and you're closer to this than I am, and you're certainly closer to Ausleitel than I am, what do you think are the prospects that they can actually break through that barrier this time? That there's going to be a shift in 2023 as things get worse in Germany? And do you see that finally getting the political savvy to know how to get through that 16% barrier? Because they failed miserably in the period from 2017 to 2020 when they had that opportunity.
Yeah, it's changing fast.
Okay.
Alice Weidel is on the front now. She's the leader.
Right.
Number one.
Okay.
She's young. Number two. She's been with the party for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Very important because she knows every corner and stretch of that party, every corridor, every office. She knows the organization. She knows the layers, the lender organizations, everything. She's changing it like a corporation. She's doing a restructuring.
Oh, okay.
One of the problems AfD had and still has to some degree, like we have, is the SVP in Switzerland. We had the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, there were some really extremist people in there. But, you know, the left's SPD also have left extremists in there. Every party has extremists in there, like religion.
Right.
You have extremists in Islam, you have them in Christianity, in Judaism, and, you know.
I can talk about libertarian extremists all day long. I've watched them fight over a semicolon in, for 2 hours. Like, yes, I get it.
So there are a few elements there that have been extreme. They made some seriously stupid comments in public, which you cannot talk like that anymore. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to even repeat those, what they say, these people. They're just disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And what she has created now is internal guidelines, okay, for the party members.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear. You step out of that line, you're out. Everybody has the same rules. Very simple.
Yeah.
So
that's important.
That's a big shift. There is now new rules. AfD wants to make sure that it can pick up the center and even from the left. And the more crisis we have, which is now, the crisis is increasing. It just only has started. By the way, they closed down the oil pipeline in Germany. I'll come to that later today. Mm-hmm. When the German oil, the fuel price at the pump goes up by 50 cents or 1 euro, imagine, terrible news. So AfD has refurbished or is refurbishing itself, reforming from the inside.
Right.
Don't forget, if people say, oh, Weidel, she is a racist. Not true. Her partner is originally from Sri Lanka.
Right.
She lives the normal life of a mix. I am mix. My mother is Swiss. My father was a Persian.
Right.
So, and the other thing is, they want to impress people by their economic knowledge. They're very savvy through Alice. She's an mm-hmm. economist, a banker.
Yes.
She used to work at Goldman Sachs. She used to work at Bank of China. She speaks Mandarin fluently.
Right.
She worked 6 years in China.
Right.
She gave away all the money and gave away that big dollar career.
Right.
Just to focus, to rebuild the country.
Yeah, no, that's a good story.
That makes it credible.
Yeah, it does. It makes it very, very credible. It's the same kind of credibility that Donald Trump brought to the table when he came in with that. You know, Trump wasn't just an outsider, right? Trump was also a guy who was an insider who then told you, as Dave Chappelle put it on SNL on Saturday Night Live a couple of weeks ago, he's like, look, Trump told everybody what they knew, which was that, yeah, the system's rigged against you. I know, because I was part of rigging the system. And now I'm telling you how the system is rigged and why it's rigged against you. And, you know, Weidel doesn't have, I don't think Weidel's story is similar, but it's that kind of thing of, I'm going to give all that up to do this. It's a similar story that Daniel DiMartino Booth tells about Jerome Powell over at the Federal Reserve. Guy's worth $150 million. Why is he slogging it out every day running the Fed?
Yeah. So Weidel, for me, the way I see her, is the female young Konrad Adenauer. She has all the ingredients. She's integer, straight shooter, doesn't go left or right, holds the course, has heart and mind, very important, and is a mother of two sons. So family is very important. If you look at the program, the new program they put up, it's on the internet of the party website. First step, democracy similar to the Swiss model. It's printed like that.
Mm.
That means direct democracy. Number two, vote for or against the euro. Bring the Deutschmark back. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Three, for instance, or four, I don't know which order now in my head, judges and prosecutors must be elected by the people, not by the party.
Absolutely.
And then it goes on like no more US bases on German soil. No more nukes on German soil.
No more nukes on German soil.
Then it's all normal. And then she says normalization of relationship with the Russian Federation. It's our big neighbor. We need energy security to grow the economy.
Yeah.
Withdraw the sanctions. Stop the war. Peace negotiations now. And so on and so forth. The program is really easy to read. It's in German. You can translate it. It's very simple.
Right.
And all of those points are logic. Now, you said, where's the problems? I'll give you an example. They have a manifestation with 10,000 people. Let's say Dresden. 10,000 people, peaceful manifestation, not demonstration. And then there's one or two guys, agent provocateur, with a Nazi flag.
Right.
And the journalist is paid for waiting for that guy or those guys. He takes a picture. It goes straight to the headline.
It goes straight to the Welt, and they're a bunch of Nazis. It's just, they do the same thing here. They do the same thing here. Now we got feds dressing up like these guys doing this stuff. I mean, we have literally guys on the FBI payroll with the high and tight and the military watches and the khakis. Now they're dressing up with masks on their faces and screaming about, you know, and doing dance routines like they're nurses during COVID. I saw this one this morning. I'm like, come on, you guys got to get a better class of feds than that. Like this is getting bad here, and you know it's just funny. No one even believes any of this stuff anymore, which is so that's the big question. Because it was funny, I was talking to, one of my patrons this morning who's in chat about. He said, you know, I grew up in Eastern Europe. I didn't say what country in Eastern Europe, but I grew up behind the Iron Curtain, and towards the end, you know, it was clear that 80 to 90% of the people didn't believe a word that was coming out of the government's mouth about anything. And we're close to that same level of not, you know, of disbelief here in the United States. We're probably closer to 50, maybe as much as 60%, you know. But the big question for the Germans, and I know that German political, the German political mindset is very conservative.
Yes, and so that's it. So AfD is positioning herself as also an expert in economy with economic solutions, economic thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The Greens and SPD in particular don't have that. They just want to destroy the middle class through incompetence, and they are the right idiots at the right moment. They're the most stupid government. The coalition is the most stupid government Germany ever had.
Okay.
It's a fact. You can look at all the stats. It's confirmed. Now,
put in power on purpose.
Will AfD make an alliance with the left wing? Definitely never.
Yeah, no.
They will never align themselves with anybody who is now seen to destroy this country.
Mm.
Will they align with the Greens just for the fun of it? Definitely not. I don't think so. Might there be a chance, and that's the big question mark, that they might find some wiggle room to coexist with CDU if CDU becomes like the old CDU?
That's the big question. Possibly. Like the Merkelized CDU has been the biggest stumbling block to the AfD getting through the 16% barrier. And neither the Free Democrats have been destroyed with Christian Lindner. And Die Linke is irrelevant at this point. So, you know, there's no radical left, radical right realignment possible in Germany. If I'm looking, I'm literally, Pascal, I have the latest German polling, you know, up while we're sitting here having this chat. And, you know, I'm looking at the situation. It's very clear that the two dominant parties now in Germany are the CDU at nearly 30%. And then the Greens and the SPD each have about 20%. AfD is at 12. I've seen as high as 15 recently. They back off a little bit. So, but I know they're also very, I know their strength is going to be, it has been and will continue to be in the former East Germany, in places like Thuringia, Saxony-Anhalt and others. And this is the big question ultimately is, can they ride that to state government success? Because Merkel, the greatest political victory for Merkel was in the entire last state election cycle to stop AfD from getting into a coalition in any state government because of the control over the German upper house, where they vote in state level blocks. And each state has to vote as a block. So as far as German politics are concerned, as dumb a system as you could ever ask for. And I know Germans in the audience will probably yell at me for this, but I'm sorry. I've even looked at our dumb system here in the United States, and I'm like, your system is even dumber because you have the Greens who control. I don't think the Greens control more than about 12 seats in the entire German upper house, but they have a veto power over 40. And it's only a 70 seat, so they have a veto power over 2/3 majority of the German upper house.
It will change very fast from now on because the real crisis will start in January, February, March, April, going forward. I just wanted to tell you today, the 5th of December is historic. Germany closed down the Druzhba oil pipeline today.
Right.
The Druzhba oil pipeline is responsible to bring 60% of the oil demand, daily oil demand, into Germany. They shut it down to comply pro-Ukraine, blah, blah, blah. The refineries right now cannot be alimented to split product anymore. No more jet fuel, no more diesel, no more petrol for the... That's it. So what is the consequence going to be? Logistics are not in place for bulking it with ships to Hamburg, etc. You can do some, you can increase some volumes there shipping wise.
Right.
But you can't. It's, you know, the Druzhba, I think, delivers 11 million liters a day oil.
Right.
Anyway, the oil, the pump price at the pump will go up.
Okay. Yeah,
30%. Sorry, 30 cents, 50 cents. 1 euro. Watch the German voters then. Watch them. The drivers, the car owners. Germans love their car.
Yes,
they love it. They've got the Autobahn and all that. They're very mobile and they're independent and they love the car. You take that away from them? Oh, it's not good. So AfD is prepared and is positioned to catch a lot of those frustrated votes.
I believe all that, and I'm not even disagreeing with you, Pascal. But my problem with all of this is that clearly everybody knew this anyway, and they still did it. Because, so that means that it speaks to a level of arrogance and a level of belief that they can actually weather that storm politically.
It is two reasons. It's the Americans, which don't want, they curtail Germany now. It got too strong for them. Germany, technology-wise, has stopped progressing since quite a few years now.
Yes.
Research and development of new technologies. Who's going to invest into a country which has the highest tax rate in the EU and is overregulated?
Yes.
You go to America, you go to China, you go to India, you go to even Switzerland, for Christ's sake. There's some big companies here researching. IBM has a research center in Zurich, by the way.
Right.
Where they invented the quantum computer was done here, the IBM research. So anyway, who's going to go to Germany since years? It's dying. Okay, now they're leaving. The last 3 months, there has been an increase, and hold your breath, 74% more chapter 11s of middle class companies, SMEs in Germany.
In Germany, yeah.
A they wanted
74%. But clearly this is the plan, is to destroy the middle class in Germany and Italy and across the European Union and the UK. And they're doing it here in the United States. But it this is back, we're dealing with commies.
It goes back to control over the people.
Right.
The middle class is responsible for 60 to 70% to carry the economy.
I know.
If you destroy that, what you destroy political activity of the people.
Yeah.
Someone who has to go to work at 7 in the morning till 7 at night in a factory, guess what? They want to have a football game and a beer. They don't care about politics. And they will not criticize their own company or the policies because they might lose a job on Monday morning. So the middle class had that privilege to stand up, or we have the privilege to stand up. Like me, I react to injustice and fight for justice. But that's the control. And that's going back to Klaus Schwab, the WEF agenda, the Great Reset 2030.
I know.
My problem is we need a strong Germany, Switzerland, that flag there.
Mm-hmm.
We need a strong Germany to survive ourselves. It's the most important neighbor to our country.
Sure.
The biggest trading partner. Culturally, mm-hmm. the language is very similar. We speak High German. We write in High German. In High German, we call it. So it's our mission in Switzerland to make sure that Germany does well or better.
Right.
AfD will bring the solution. You will see the shift will happen more and more and more.
I certainly hope so, Pascal. I've been watching it for so long. I want to be white pilled about this and the common parlance, but I have watched them run the table on the German middle class now for 6 years in the most brutal way imaginable, and they're doing the same thing in Italy. And I'm watching that situation.
Look at France. Middle class is gone.
I know they've destroyed the middle class in France. They're trying to destroy the middle class in the Netherlands. They're trying desperately to do so in Italy. And the animosity between the triad, the EU triad, Germany, France, and Italy, the animosity between them is so deep right now. You've got the French calling the Italians enemies of France for denying 237 migrants after they took 60,000. Okay. You have the Germans like von der Leyen and the rest of them screeching to high heaven about how they have to literally bankrupt themselves to support democracy in Ukraine with a crazed guy who's outlawed democracy and now wants to outlaw religious freedom, the Russian and Ukrainian Orthodox Church and everything else. Like, what is going on with these people? We still think that there's a Christian Democratic Union that's polling 30% in Germany. Because it's no a Christian to me at this point. Like, I got news. I mean, I have to call everybody out. I'm like, at some point, like, the leadership is corrupt, the systems are corrupt, and you know, it's and I and while I believe all of these things that are laying the foundation for the future are going to move in the right direction, the problem is whether or not the timeline is going to that it's going to wake up in time to actually stop it. It's the same problem I have here in the United States. I can see all of the things happening. I see the counter revolution happening in the United States. I can see it like as clear as day. The question is whether it's going to reach critical mass in such a way that it can actually affect any real change before we find ourselves stumbling into World War III.
Yes, I wrote a piece about that. Either side wins, there'll be nuclear war. The only way out is a peace agreement. Now, Alice Weidel was in the Bundestag. It's an epic speech. You should watch it if you understand German. On the 23rd of November, she made one good question. Very clear. She said there was a sabotage by a foreign country, obviously, blowing up Nord Stream 1 and 2A. She said, what's the response of our government? She said, deafening silence.
Yes.
Did you realize that? I mean, if somebody destroys Zurich Airport tomorrow, they will be, I mean, by a third country, there'll be serious trouble, believe me. The German government, zero reaction.
Yeah, no, the Nord Stream, the fact that Germany was silent about it was clear.
A direct attack on German infrastructure.
Yeah, no, I know. And Russian infrastructure and everything else. Like, and we're at the point now where now Uniper, now after they've been nationalized and bailed out, is now suing the Russians for not delivering gas that the Russians couldn't deliver because the Ukrainians shut the pipeline down. Like, what world do we live in where this is going on? Like,
so these problems will now increase. And I see, follow Alice Weidel. She's going places and she's doing the right thing, I believe. It's my own opinion.
Sure.
I have been advising a few heads of states in my career, many ministers in crisis. This one has it all. Is for me a little hero, growing up very fast. And she is serious about the job she's doing.
I've never doubted Alice Weidel. I've always realized from the moment I watched her speak, and that was years ago, that she was the soul of that party going forward. And I knew that the organization that was around her wasn't professional enough and capable enough. It's like doing due diligence on any good company. You start with the CEO and the board, and then you ask yourself, okay, can that guy actually execute this plan? No, forget it. I'm not buying that stock. Same thing about political parties. And I can tell you, having, you know, I it's good to know that she's got someone and you got people around her who are going to give her the right advice, because I've watched people get the right advice and still fail, i.e. Yeah. in the Libertarian Party here in the United States. And there's a variety of reasons why that has occurred. And so I'm cautiously optimistic as always. And I'm watching the polls with great interest, because I know that once AFD breaks through the 16% chasm, which is a classic marketing problem, that you have to get past the 16% barrier and then you'll jump immediately beyond that into the low 20s in no time flat, no low 20s, early 30s, no time flat, because you will now be seen as a solution for a bigger problem than just the being anti whatever the thing is. I told them 4 years ago, like, you guys have to position yourselves as not the anti-Merkel party. You have to stop making Merkel your nemesis. That'll get you to 16%, but now you got to give us the solution for Germany. And that's the key. And they never did that. And their messaging never got there.
The beauty is the brand is great. Alternative for Germany, AfD.
Yeah.
And the color is blue, color of trust. I think it's good.
Yeah.
So we've discussed that. On my side, there's nothing more significant. What I really would like to make sure that people understand, that we have a government crisis coming. There's a criminal charges being filed by me, Swiss citizen, mm-hmm. without a lawyer, the way it should be. Went to the police station. It's gone to the federal prosecutor's office. And you know the ins and outs now of it.
I hope that we're able to have another one of these at some point where you can tell me that, yeah, oh yeah, and we're going to court, and then that's what.
No, I'm not going to court. This is not my job. It's the prosecution.
Right.
It's not me. I'm not launching a lawsuit. This is I'm filing criminal charges, which the government has to take.
Which the government has to respond to,
and
if they don't. But here's my problem. Here's my question for you, Pastor. It's not a problem. This is my question for you. And I hope that I'm, you know, is what's your feeling as to whether or not someone's actually going to take this up?
Oh, it's in the process already.
Okay.
I tell you something without any names. I cannot reveal that. But I'm in touch with a federal judge.
Mm-hmm.
And this person told me, you're doing the right thing. Didn't say, oh, shit, you missed that or this. That is, this person said it's solid.
Okay, cool.
The way it's been filed is solid. It's transparent. No lawyer necessary.
And let's make it reality. Sounds good to me. I mean,
Swiss democracy is calling for help now. The profit must come from outside because our Swiss mainstream media are blocking this news. They are blocking it.
Yep. All right. You got anything else?
Thank you very much.
No problem. As happy to talk to you as always. Thank you so much for your time and diligence. And really, like as everything else, it's, you know, one of the things, just as a small note on the way out the door, I love this job. I get to meet the most amazing people, and I get to talk to the most amazing people who are even more passionate about the things that I'm angry about than I am. And it's just fantastic. So as always, Pascal, it's been a real pleasure. And I hope we can do this again soon.
Yes, sir. Stay well. And I hope your daughter recovers soon and everything is fine.
No, so she should be fine. All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that'll about wrap it up for episode 125 of the Gold Goats and Guns podcast. If you like what you heard today, do the thing, share it, send it out. And as always, you can follow my work at Twitter at TFL1728, at my blog at tomluongo.me, and on Patreon at patreon.com/Gold Goats and Guns. All right, so you guys be well. You take care. We'll talk soon. And keep your stick on the ice.